Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us here on Undisputed today. We've got a fantastic show for you. I'm Jen Hale. That is Skip Bayless, and that is Shannon Sharp. Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Good morning. Good morning. Jerry, them beignets must be you if you sent them to Skip. And he ain't passed them along to me.
Huh. Well, nobody sent me any diet dude for years and years years. I get no diet dude.
You've been losing.
I win and win and win and win. For 6 years I win, I get no diet dude.
Have you won anything lately?
I have won a couple lately.
No, you haven't.
You've been on a little bit of a hot streak, but then I rallied.
No.
But somebody never paid off. So, Jen, you're good.
And guess what?
No payoffs on
come
this show.
Come Sunday, six yeah. chains.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, now he's up to six chains?
He will after the game.
Now that they're number one in the power rankings, he should be eight chains.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was the only one that saw
still
that.
Favored to win that game.
That's okay.
Who knew?
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's jump right in and see if we can find a few more games to put some dew and beignets on.
Yes.
Let's start here. Former Bucks coach Bruce Arians. He believes Tom Brady deserved more of the blame than he was getting for the Bucks' three-game losing streak. Arians told JoeBucksFan.com, quote, "Nobody is going to say that Brady was playing bad, but he was playing bad." Shannon, you gotta love B.A., but do you like or do you have a problem with what he said?
B.A., B.A., we kindred spirits. Mm. Yes, there were someone saying that he was playing bad, whether it's Skip Bayless.
Mm-hmm.
But like B.A. said, not enough people. Because it was almost like if you say Tom Brady's playing bad, you're trying to diminish what he's already accomplished.
No.
And that's not the case. Mm. You can be a great player and be playing poorly. And Tom Brady was playing poorly, and I pointed it out. But my counterpart was telling me it was because I was jealous.
Mm.
That wasn't that skilled. The man was playing poorly.
I didn't say it was because you were jealous.
Yeah, you jealous, Tom Brady.
You resented the fact that he's still playing at 45 when you had to quit at 35.
I resented the fact that people weren't saying he was playing poorly when he was.
Okay.
Look, I think the biggest thing is where people are going to push back because B.A., last I checked, he's still employed by the Buccaneers. Now, I could be wrong, Skip. Am I right or wrong? Is he employed by the Buccaneers?
He is titled a senior advisor to GM Jason Light.
So normally,
yeah.
We don't have people within our own camps.
Normally not.
So I think that's the pushback. What he's saying isn't wrong. What he's saying is factually correct. Tom Brady was playing poorly during this losing streak. But I think the thing is where people are going to push back, Skip, is because it came from within the ranks.
Mm.
Look, if you look at Tom Brady is Skip Bayless tell me the offensive line is playing terrible, but they're ranked in the top 10. Tom Brady's only been sacked 14 times. The Bucs have allowed the second fewest sacks in the NFL. That's not what Skip keeps telling you about Luke Gedeke. Skip keeps telling you about these guys that's never played a game of football before in their life.
Mm.
But Pro Football Focus, his Bible says they have a top 10 offensive line.
Mm.
He's been sacked 14 times, which is the second fewest. Wow. Wow. But Tom Brady has thrown the most passes, 427, 41 more than second, Justin Herbert, 61 more than Patrick Mahomes. But here's the kicker. Although he's thrown 41 more passes, he only has 12 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes throwing 61 fewer passes, has 25 touchdowns. So he's 14th in touchdown passes, 12th in completion percentage, and 27th in yards per attempt. And the Bucs are averaging, they're 27th in points scored, 18 points. On the flip side, the Bucs have the fifth-ranked defense. Their defense has the second most sacks and has allowed the third fewest points.
Mm.
But the problem that I'm really going to have with this is because Brady, it's not the fact that Brady isn't getting the blame, because he isn't. Is the shoulders that it falls on when he's not playing well, which is Byron Leftwich. Because I read the quotes. Man, Byron Leftwich calling some bull jive. Byron Leftwich doing this.
Who said that?
I said, I read my timeline when I was talking about Tom Brady playing.
Oh, so these are followers on Twitter. You're referring to quoting people on Twitter.
You haven't said that?
The show has come to this. I don't read anything on Twitter.
Skip, see, this is the problem that I have with you, is that when someone else mentioned Twitter, you have a problem with it. But you always talking about, I tweeted this and my fight, and the trend was trending.
Well, I tweet.
Okay,
yeah.
I tweet.
I don't read. You read like crazy.
You said,
you're a prisoner of what you read.
So let me ask you a question. So why do you tweet? If you didn't want, if it didn't trend, you wouldn't tweet. But anyway, let me get back to my original point. The problem that I'm going to have is that it falls on Byron Leftwich and it falls on Todd Bowles, because you've come out here and said Todd Bowles doesn't have enough time to focus solely on the defense. So when Tom Brady was playing poorly, you were blaming Todd Bowles.
No, I wouldn't. Was the defense giving up for about a five-game stretch, the most rush yards in all of pro football? Yes, it was.
How many points was Tom Brady scoring?
Who has been the biggest Todd Bowles fan on earth? You're looking at him.
Who?
You're looking at him.
How many points were they scoring? Last I checked, you don't get a touchdown every time you run the football. Mm-hmm. How many points during that losing streak was Tom Brady scoring?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank
you. Tell me when it's my turn.
It's not your turn just yet. So the fact of the matter is, B.A. is absolutely correct. I was one of the ones, B.A., unfortunately, I don't know how much of the show that you watch, but I was very critical of Tom Brady and his play because I didn't think he was playing well. Mm-hmm. And not trying to diminish anything, the 7 Super Bowls is his. The 100,000 or however many yards he's passed for, those are his.
Got it.
But two things can be true. He can be historically
and
transcendently great,
but
he can also be playing poorly, which he was.
Okay. Three things can be true. He can be up against it at extreme disadvantages with the supporting cast around him. All right, it is now my turn. We need some context here for old Bruce Arians. What did you agree happened in the offseason? Why did Tom Brady decide to come back to Tampa after he romanced a little bit with Miami, and I think he kicked the tires in San Francisco? Why did he decide to go back to Tampa? What happened? What was the one key sea change in Tampa?
I guess he didn't want B.A. to be his coach.
That is correct.
So he got what he wanted, right?
He got what he wanted, and B.A., his old buddy B.A., got kicked upstairs. He didn't want him fired because he's a nice guy. He's fun to be around. He likes to take off early from practice and go play 9 holes of golf. That's B.A., no risk it, no biscuit. The complete polar opposite, or maybe the glacial opposite, of Bill Belichick up in New England. And I think Brady did enjoy some of getting out from under the Patriot way in New England, but he installed the Patriot way the way he can teach it and coach it. Tom Brady did. In Tampa.
Okay.
And in 1 year during a pandemic, Tom Brady managed to completely switch and flip the culture that B.A. was still a part of, because the previous year they'd been 7-9 with Jameis at quarterback and B.A. as the head coach.
Right.
So B.A. got to go along for one of the great rides in sports history to a ring that he did not. Well, did he win one in Pittsburgh? I guess he won.
Yeah, he
was the OC. So he did. But as a head coach, he had not won a ring. Mm-hmm. So he got to go along for a great ride with Tom Brady to win a ring. But along the trail of that ride, starting in game number one, what did he do? He blasted Tom Brady right out of the box. They get thrown in their fire against their arch rival, their division nemesis, in Tom Brady's first game as a Buccaneer down in New Orleans against a team that was really good, was still Drew Brees at quarterback. And Tom didn't play very well, but there was one mistake that B.A. called him out for after the game that I said the next day. I said, that's just wrong. That was Mike Evans' fault. That was not Tom Brady's. And B.A. went back on whenever he talked to the media Monday and said, nope, I messed that up. When I looked at the tape, I realized that was not Tom's fault. But he just blistered Tom Brady after that game. And he continued to blister him after numerous games that year. Mm-hmm. And Tom played on that Monday night against New Orleans, what I thought was Sunday night against New Orleans. I think it's the worst game of his whole career, because that was a 3-interception game in which he had a QBR of 4 on scale of 0 to 100. Right. I've never seen him play that bad. And at the end, he had a give-up interception where he just threw it up for grabs to Gronk across the field, and it got picked off. And they got ramrodded. They got blown off the field, wasn't it? 30-3? 38-3 on their home field. And again, Bruce took him to task after that one. All right. What do I think of Bruce Arians? I think he has a huge ego. I think he's basically a good guy, but he's got a huge ego that he likes to feed by reminding everybody, I coached Peyton Manning, I coached Andrew Luck, and I coached Big Ben Roethlisberger, and I coached Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. And now I'm coaching Tom Brady, and he's just another one of those guys. He's just some guy, and without me at the helm here, he'd be just another 500 quarterback. Okay, I don't think he thinks that. Okay,
but.
Well, that's his ego speaking, and you have to keep it in the context that when he did this interview, he's out of sight, out of mind, and somebody put a microphone in front of his face or a tape recorder, and all of a sudden, he reverted back to the same BA of 2 years ago. And I'm just going to guess at this. I'm going to say, as we speak, Jason Light is furious over this because these quotes help this team. How exactly? I don't know. Maybe it helps send a message to the locker room. Well, at least Tom got called out when he was playing bad. Is that a good thing? Maybe. But they just turned the corner, I believe. Maybe they haven't, but they're on a bye week. And now Brady has to wake up and read that the senior advisor now, his former head coach that he got kicked upstairs, is blasting him to a Bucks website.
Right. But the question, did he lie?
No. Okay, I'll give you that. And it helped how? It is positive how.
How was it helping when Brady was criticizing when he was playing poorly and he's talking about the offensive lineman? Mm-hmm. He's yelling and screaming in their face.
Okay,
and he's yelling
right,
and kicking.
That's not the point. The point is that a guy who's still a senior advisor, who's still a Buccaneers executive, who's still probably making really good money to advise, and he says he meets every day. He said all through those bad games, he met every day with Byron Leftwich. So how does it help the football team in general? Man, I got to believe that the Glazers, who own this team, they won't be happy today, because I think it's only negativity that nobody needed at this point, because they've moved past that. They've worked through that.
But here's the thing. Anytime someone outside criticizes Tom Brady, it's not taken as factual. It's taken as jealousy. It's taken as resentful. Now you have someone within the building that has nothing to gain from this. What does he gain? He's not getting his job back.
No.
So he has an opportunity to speak freely and says Tom was playing bad. Not enough people were saying that. And he was absolutely correct. So now you have to look like, well, man, maybe I need to go back and look at this, because this is someone that's very close to the situation. I believe BA is still watching tape and saying the quarterback during this losing streak was playing bad.
Okay. Now, let's look at the facts, shall we? Let's look at said losing streak. And by the way, they won their first two games, which was pretty good, given the degree of difficulty of both of those games. But I'll get to that in a second. But let's look at this whole, this awful bad stretch for Tom Brady. For much of this season, the Buccaneers' offensive line was ranked dead last in pass block win rate. They were not protecting Tom Brady because they had lost two Pro Bowl players at left guard and at center. Two Pro Bowl players, and at left tackle, the key position, the left tackle was lost in game number one at Dallas. And often over this terrible stretch of Brady play, would you believe somebody named Nick Leverett, undrafted out of Rice, the third string left tackle, was having to start at left tackle because both the first stringer and the second stringer were down and out with injuries? He started three of those bad Tom Brady games. So the whole left side of the line is pretty much a disaster, because you have a rookie left guard, Gedeke, out of North Dakota State, and you have a center in Robert Hainsey, who's a second-year player who had never played center in his life. Not in Pop Warner, not in high school, not at Notre Dame, not for the Buccaneers. He was drafted as a right tackle, and he was forced to try to figure out how to play center on the fly. That's the left side of your line. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, and maybe it's in part and parcel because the left side of the line is so inexperienced, they couldn't run a lick because they fell to dead last in rushing.
Right.
Dead last.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't pass block and you can't run it. What do you think's going to happen to the quarterback? Well, maybe he could throw it to someone. No, wait a second. He has no Gronkowski this year. He has no Antonio Brown, who was his deep threat a year ago. He has no Gio Bernard, who was a third down ace for him, and he's still on injured reserve. He did have Julio, who he recruited to be his new deep threat. He had him for one 48-yard throw at Dallas. But then what happened? He pulled up lame at Dallas, and he was not to be seen until just this past Sunday in Munich.
Okay.
So all those bad games from Tom Brady, he didn't even have Julio Jones. And then Chris Godwin was just a shell of himself in game one, and he pulls up lame with some hamstring issue. And for the next five games, he's gone, and he's still trying to come off an ACL. And then Mike Evans in game number two got ejected and got suspended for game number three. So there was a crucial stretch in there when he didn't have Mike Evans. Man, it's going to get hard, because all of a sudden you don't have any deep speed, and you're often throwing to a rookie tight end and to look at the targets. Look at the game at New Orleans. So they win at Dallas, then they go to New Orleans, and they somehow won the game with Tom throwing the most balls to little Scotty Miller, who's not even half of what an Edelman or an Amendola used to be for Tom in New England.
But here's the thing. When Scotty Miller was running past people in Green Bay, when he was running past people, you was like, look at Tom Brady using Scotty Miller. When Breshad Perriman walked it off against Buffalo, look at Tom Brady using Breshad Perriman. When Jalen Darden caught the game-winning touchdown against Jet, look at Tom Brady using Jaden Darlin. When he doesn't win, look who he's throwing to.
Okay,
those guys are no good.
Okay, he was tricking them with those guys, and they would catch one or two balls a game.
We'll keep tricking them.
Okay, you can't throw. Look at what happened at New Orleans. Little Scotty Miller led the whole team in targets. He had like 8 targets to lead the game. And then against Green Bay, Russell Gage, their new slot receiver, had to split out wide and got 13 targets against Green Bay.
Okay.
So my point is that you're asking for trouble because you're putting people in positions they're not used to.
But you make it seem like Tom Brady is the only one that has offensive line that's been in flux at some point.
He's
the only one that doesn't have to have the receivers and players in and out of the lineup.
Okay, no running game and no pass block. And yet, through this bad stretch, he threw 399 straight passes without getting one picked. That's phenomenal. That's an achievement. I don't care if you're 45 or 15 years old, that's an achievement.
And that losing streak, how many touchdowns did he throw?
Okay.
He didn't throw any interceptions, but how many touchdowns was he throwing?
Okay, who are you throwing to? Help me out. Well, who can get free? Who can get loose? Who can run by?
But when they win the game and they throw to Scott, he's throwing to the same guys when he's winning and then when he's losing. But you don't see? You look to blame. It's Scotty Miller. He's nobody. Breshad Perriman, he's nobody. Jalen Darden, Russell Gage is nobody. But when he's winning, look at Tom Brady. You blame everybody for this. You give nobody credit for the success but Brady, but you blame everybody for the losses.
Who was he throwing to last year? At the end of the year, he's throwing to Gronkowski and late in the year, obviously, to Antonio Brown.
Okay.
And to Gio Bernard and to a healthy Chris Godwin and to Mike Evans. Well, it's like a cavalcade of stars. Yeah, that'll work. That's some star power.
Joe Burrow's playing without Higgins. He was playing without Chase. He was playing about some of his guys. His offensive line, it hasn't seemed to gotten any better, and they spent a ton of money on it. It's that at some point in time, just blame Tom and say Tom isn't playing well. All you try to do is try to find, Scotty Miller, he was just fine when he was running past Green Bay in the championship game. He was just fine right before the half when he caught and got one against a Raiders and Perriman when he walked it off against Buffalo. You talked about how great Tom was and using this and this and this, but when he loses,
but he still had all the compliment of all the other stars.
Skip,
he would trick you with Scotty Miller. He would trick you with Perriman all of a sudden.
So who did he have against the Rams when they won that game? Was Mike Evans there? Was Chris Godwin there?
Yeah, well, again, we get to the cloud that I kept saying was over Tom, the fog that he was playing in. I had no idea he was trying to finalize a divorce during the regular season. And once it got finalized, once it got reported, all of a sudden, here came the Rams and here came Tom Brady. And he started to look like Tom Brady against the Rams.
Skip, he looked like Tom Brady the last two drives. Stop pretending like he looked like Tom Brady in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter.
Boy,
it was the last two drives that he looked good. So okay. Don't do that.
Well, I thought they had the greatest defensive player ever. That's what you tell me, Aaron Donald.
Hold on. And you got the number one ranked pass defense. How did that work for you against Green Bay?
Who does?
You.
What are you talking about?
Your defense. Number one in sacks.
Okay.
Number one in pass win rate. How did that work for you against Green Bay?
Why are we changing the subject?
Because, what you try to do is that, okay, if Aaron Donald is so great, he should neutralize Tom Brady. If the Cowboys' defense was so great, they should have won that game. It doesn't work like that. You do everything you possibly can, even diminishing someone else while trying to accentuate Tom Brady, even though he's playing
anybody.
Back.
No, I'm just saying, I see what I see. I saw Tom Brady play really well at Dallas against the number one defense, the number one pass rush defense.
Okay. How did he play against Pittsburgh?
And then, wait a second, then we go, game number two is at New Orleans, and he has to go down
there. New Orleans
there.
That just lost to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, but New Orleans was still there. Guess what happened the last time? Tom had not beaten New Orleans in the regular season. He was 0-4 against New Orleans in the regular season.
Just because somebody hasn't beaten someone, that doesn't mean they're good.
So
he goes
down to New Orleans into their house of horrors for him, and he has to throw the most targets to little Scotty Miller. With halfway through the fourth quarter, it's 3-3, and he throws a 28-yard touchdown pass all the way back across the field to Breshad Perriman.
Wow.
Came out of nowhere. He's caught 8 balls the whole year, and he caught the touchdown pass that won a crucial division game.
That guy?
Interesting.
So you see, when he wins, he threw that guy. Now when he loses, it's somebody else's fault. So let me ask you a question. How did he play against Pittsburgh? You keep telling me how did he do against the Ravens?
He was terrible.
How did he do against Carolina?
Just terrible. Oh,
okay.
Just terrible.
Okay. I was just checking.
Just terrible.
Just checking.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he finally, when the fog lifted, he had two late drives, length of the field drives against the Rams. Scotty Miller drops the first one, and he goes right back down there again and pulls it off. And with seconds left, he hits the rookie tight end. He even lost Cameron Brate for about five games.
Yeah.
Hits the rookie tight end for the touchdown that saves the season. Because if they lose that game, I think they're cooked.
But Skip, why when I was trying to tell you this offseason that Tom Brady has things on his mind, you told me no. You argued, got upset. That's you. Tom Brady, what I've been heard is that this has been a long time brewing, and Tom Brady's just fine. Now, all of a sudden, you said, well, what was he had things on his mind. When I tried to tell you that from the jump, and you argued me down, said it wasn't true.
I didn't argue down. I just said I've been hearing this has been going on for a long time, and that has been validated.
Okay.
Validated. This has been a five-year issue.
If it was going on for a long time, why isn't it bothering him now?
Because he had to go through a divorce in the middle of the season.
He's been going through, you just said he's been going through it for the long time. The divorce is the final chapter. There has to be verses and chapter leading up to the final chapter. So if he was going through it for an extended period of time,
I've been through them before, and divorces are hard.
Skip, I get all
just
of
the paperwork.
But you tell
is
me
hard.
Tom Brady is unlike any other human. Well, it doesn't bother him. Okay. Nothing bothers him. That's what you said.
It's just a distraction. It's a drain on the time you have to commit to preparing for
football. If nothing bothers
games.
Tom Brady, there should have been no distraction.
Okay. All right. Okay, so he was bothered. He was really bothered. But guess what?
Was he bothered or was he not?
No, he was really bothered. It was terrible what he was going through. You were exactly right. You were right about everything. And guess what? They're 5-5 on a bye week, and they look really good to me. And I'm here to tell you, it's not time for Tom to go home. It's just not time. In fact, he's throwing the ball to my eye. I'm not in the Hall of Fame, but to my eye test, it looks just as good as it ever looked to me. Against Seattle, he was throwing laser rockets. And I said, Seattle was good. Seattle was hot. He picked them to pieces because they actually started to run the football a little bit, and it actually made play action plausible for the first time in a long time.
Guess what? They committed to the run. Mm. How often have they been committed to the run? Mm. They normally want Tom Brady to look good, and so they allow him to throw 40, 50 passes, even though you say the offensive line is substandard.
They had no other chance. They had no other hope. It's like what Arian said. Byron's like, he finally threw up his hands and said, we can't run it anyway. I keep trying to run it. I guess I got to let him throw it and throw it and throw it.
So what happened?
And they can't protect him, and he's not going to take sacks. Yep. He's going to get rid of the football, and if it's not there, he's going to throw it in the dirt.
The man has been sacked 14 times in 10 games. Mm-hmm. What do you mean they can't protect him?
Okay, I just told you what he is. He is the greatest get-rid-of-the-football guy who ever played the game.
Well,
there's never been anybody like him. He's been getting rid of it.
Yes.
And yet, he doesn't throw it into harm's way the way every other human mortal quarterback does. He throws it in the dirt. If it's not there, he throws it in the dirt.
Yes.
And he kept him in all these games. He kept him in every one of these games because he didn't throw it to the other team.
I remember when Aaron Rodgers was doing the same thing, you talked about he wanted to keep that touchdown to interception ratio low. You wanted to say he wanted to keep his completion low. Now Tom Brady does the exact same thing, and you applaud him for it.
Okay, yeah, but Green Bay was winning games, right? You could do it however way you wanted to win it.
No, that's not what you were saying at the time.
Well, I did too.
No.
Well, I did. Well, he was running away with MVP.
That's what I was saying.
You told me he was the greatest thrower of the football you've ever seen, and now you're completely off his bandwagon.
No, you're down on him. No, I'm not down on him. He can still play, but he was playing bad. And I'm man enough to say he's playing bad.
Okay.
As great as he is, he was playing bad. But you guess what? You didn't say, well, he don't have Randall Cobb. You didn't say, well, he was missing Lazard with that shoulder injury.
All I did was tell you all last week, you are completely underestimating a guy you used to love, and now you don't love him.
No, Skip.
Aaron Rodgers is he's still all of the above. And he still had weapons, and you saw what he did to my Cowboys, and I called it sitting right here.
Yeah, but Skip.
Thank you.
See, this is what you see. See, you like to be right no matter what. I called it. I told you they could win, but you was hoping the Cowboys, you was hoping you was wrong, but you was right.
I was. I said they'd win on a late field goal, and they had one set up, and we're about to talk about it, and they turned it down. And if they make that field goal, maybe they do win. The score I predicted, 31-28, and said they lost 31-28.
What, did you predict your defense was going to get run off the field?
No, I did not.
I didn't think so.
And if that keeps happening, I'll get run right out of my prediction.
You sure will.
Okay.
I'm counting on that happening.
Yep. All right.
That's what Michael said. Michael said, until we fix it.
they'll keep breaking you.
Tom Brady says he has zero regrets about his decision to return to the football field, guys. It'll be an interesting final stretch to this season, that's for sure.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Jerry Jones telling 105.3 The Fan that if the Cowboys do indeed add Odell Beckham, he, quote, substantially gets us above where we are. Shannon, what does this Jerry quote tell you about how important it is to the Cowboys to actually sign Odell?
Yes, Jerry talking. Jerry just being Jerry. Jerry can say a whole lot without saying anything, and sometimes I like to see him. Sometimes he just likes to hear himself talk. Skip, this is what he said yesterday. In this particular case, start by asking, why are you able to sign him? Ask that question. Why? Well, it's because he's not on the team. And at this time of year, a player of that caliber, that's rare. Mm-hmm. So he's already telling you, I want him, but, I mean, come on now, how good could he possibly be if he's not on a team? Odell, it's reported that Odell wants a long-term deal, something like $20 million, prorated bonus is about $7 million. He wants a long-term deal. There are other teams, supply and demand. When demand is high, supply is low, the prices go astronomical, Skip. Remember during COVID, they couldn't keep cleaning wipes or the thing. People were charging, selling cleaning wipes $20, $30 a box that you can go to the store and get for $2.99.
Or just Purell.
Yes!
You couldn't find it.
Supply and demand. Supply was low, demand was high.
Yep.
Price through the roof. Mm. Well, says the 49ers are interested, the Chiefs are interested, the Giants.
I'm trying to find somebody who isn't interested.
Right!
Yeah.
So it's not, and I don't believe he's going to give the Cowboys the discount or the star discount that a lot of people want him to give. So, Skip, look, that tells you alone that there's a rarefied set of circumstances, and those just don't happen, or it wouldn't be possible. It's almost like saying, like he's like talking himself out of it. Skip, on the one hand, yeah, this is an unbelievable player, but why is he available? Hmm. Why hasn't he already signed? Why isn't he already on the team? Some of the very questions that Skip Bayless posed all season long. Mm. Well, Shannon, why don't somebody just go ahead and sign him and just stash him away? Mm. I ask you, Skip Bayless, why don't you just go ahead and sign OBJ and just stash him away? Mm. But better question for you, why would you want OBJ on your team? Mm. He killed Baker Mayfield. Mm. Aren't you afraid he's going to kill Dak Prescott?
Mm. I am not.
Because you know he didn't kill big old Faker Mayfield. He did that to himself.
He did kill Baker Mayfield because he was hurt. He had three surgeries in Cleveland. He became a shell of himself. And the truth is, he may be a shell of himself as we speak because none of us know. You can't know. I can't know.
No,
even Odell doesn't know at this point. What exactly are you? You've turned 30 years of age. You've had two surgeries.
Give me seem like you turned 45.
No, I'm just saying. You've had two surgeries on the same ACL. That's scary to me. You've had all kinds of surgeries all over your body. For his sake, I hope he's right. For my sake, I hope we sign him. But I kept telling you, I just wanted him in presence only. He's such a superstar on social media that today's younger players are in awe of him. I think you're still in awe of him, just his celebrity, just his mystique, his aura. Okay, but that's what they are. That's what the kids on
Skip, you want somebody that can help you win or somebody that's going to be infatuated with.
I got it. Speaking of infatuated, my owner is even more infatuated as we speak with number 88, the new number 88 for my Cowboys, because CeeDee Lamb was his baby draft pick.
Yes. You
know, that's who remember, it's his grandson is shaking his leg on his yacht on draft night saying, granddad, look who's the guy from Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
And Jerry says, I got him.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the grandkids still call him Jerry.
They all call him Jerry.
They do.
And Jerry snatched him, and I loved it. And CD has been some hit and miss. He's dropped too many balls. We've gone back and forth. But he just had, for
his
me,
best game was
a big coming out game on a big national TV
It was a losing
stage.
Effort, but this was his best game, Skip.
150 yards. He looked like a, I won't go top 10. I'm at top five. I'll go top 10. He looked like a top 10 receiver. He looked like he was ready for prime time. It looked like he was ready to go up against number 18 in Minnesota this coming Sunday at their place in Minneapolis. So the point is, Jerry is so infatuated with CeeDee that now I can, again, I'm pretty good at reading Jerry's tea leaves because I spend so much time around him writing my three cowboy books, but it sounded like, to your point, he was trying to talk himself a little bit out
yes.
of it. He was bullish last week. Yes. He was gung-ho last week. But now that he saw CeeDee, he's thinking, wait a second. I don't need to diminish his star power. I don't really need a 1A to him. I got a pure number one. So the quote yesterday about a talent like Beckham is additive. It just stacks on top of whatever you already have.
Skip, okay? Noah Brown and Michael Gallup.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So Cooper Rush loved Noah Brown.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just have a wavelength. I don't know. It's from scout team
yes.
or whatever it was.
Yes.
But man, Noah Brown caught a bunch of big balls. But for Dak, no.
No.
Okay. So forget about Noah Brown. And Michael Gallup is coming off ACL
right.
reconstruction. And I got to tell you, I'm not seeing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, he catch one pass yeah. a game. And
okay, and I'm not seeing – he used to be able to run by people,
right.
and I'm not seeing him run by anybody. Yeah. I haven't seen one time where I said, oh, there he is.
Yeah,
right?
Skip, I mean, like you said, he came off a very serious yeah. injury, and it's normally the year after the surgery.
Okay, so Jerry's asking himself, but he's asking out loud on his radio show, can he get us substantively, it's kind of an awkward word to say, above where we are? Like, will it be significantly, will we take a leap when we add whatever number he's going to wear,
right.
13 or whatever he's
right.
going to wear in Dallas?
No, Michael Gallup's
got 13. Well, maybe he could buy it from him. I don't know. he'll have so much money that Jerry's going to pay him. But the point is that Odell, he's had a blessed career because he keeps winding up in catbird seats, proverbial catbird.
Yeah.
And boy, he's in one right now. And that's what Jerry's trying to say is, we've never seen this before.
Right.
A player of this caliber, and he still has high
right.
caliber because he became a certainly a playoff catalyst for the Rams. He's viewed as the last piece to a Super Bowl
right.
puzzle, right?
Right.
So he's in a perfect position to sit back. Everybody's talking about December 1st would be when he'd be cleared to maybe actually start playing football
right.
again. Well, he's in the perfect place to sit back and say, okay, who's going to catch a wave here? Who's going to catch fire? Where can I go? Where can I latch on to something that looks like it's headed to stardom?
Right? So you saying wait for the next 2 weeks
yeah.
to see if Buffalo, the Giants, the Cowboys, whomever
yeah.
takes off. It's like, okay, that's where we're going.
Who's going to take off? And right now, my Cowboys didn't take off at
right.
Green Bay, and they got two more quick turnaround chances. So he's got time to sit back and say, okay, show me what you got at Minnesota. Show me what happens with CeeDee versus Justin Jefferson, because that's going to be a prime time matchup.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the old games I used to cover with Terrell Owens versus Randy Moss. It was can't miss theater.
Right.
And I got to tell you, Randy just ate him alive
yeah.
because it was a head-to-head battle, like who's going to catch the most balls and who's going to look the most impressive.
Well, I know when I was playing another tight end, I was like, I
yeah.
would tell Steve Atwood and Romo, don't y'all let that guy come
that's
in and
right.
show me up.
Okay. Romanowski.
Yeah.
No, right.
Don't,
right.
hey.
Right.
Ben Coles or
yes.
Whomever. Don't let that man show me up.
I got it. So this is one of those marquee kind of matchups.
Gonzalez,
I
yeah.
I know. I got it. But Odell can sit back and say, what you got, Dallas? What you got at Minnesota? What you got against my team? And again, we had his former
high school coach
and mentor
right.
saying, I think he might be leaning Giants over Cowboys
right.
to return to.
And I understand Odell, you know, and I guess Dorothy said it best that you can go home sometimes, Skip. But I just, if I got a choice, and I understand.
She just said there's no place like home.
Yeah. Skip, I understand the sentimentality mm-hmm. of it.
Yep.
Of going back where you started.
Yep.
But of all the situations, that's the worst quarterback. I don't care. Skip.
He's played pretty well. I think he might be maxing out his ability right now.
If I got a choice to play with Josh Allen,
yep.
Patrick Mahomes, Jimmy Garoppolo, Dak Prescott, or Jones, Skip. What are we discussing?
I got you. Unless you just want to return to the Big Apple when they're on not a Super Bowl role, but at least a playoff role, right?
I think they had a great story. I do not see them as serious Super Bowl contenders.
I do not either. I would agree with that. But they have been the surprise team of the year so far, and it's a feel-good story, and I'm he knows how that Big Apple media would just ignite if he re-signed there.
But, Skip, everything they do is predicated on 2-6.
Yeah.
It's Saquon.
No, I know. I got that. But Odell knows he's not in any position to go be a savior for somebody. The problem with going to the Giants is I think the fandom would view him as a receiver savior, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because the good thing about Dallas is you would come in without huge expectations.
That is what y'all Cowboys fan. The Cowboys fan just remember him making them catches. They remember what they saw last year. Man, you saw what he did for the Rams? He could do that for us.
Well, thinking the same thing. But I just need him in name only. I just need him in presence or a mystique only.
What if I said, okay, you could only sign one? You could sign him or you can sign Ndamukong Suh to shore up your run defense.
I like Odell.
Okay.
Just because I know what it would send a message to my locker room. Jerry's serious business about this. He thinks that Odell is the Super Bowl catalyst. That would be the message.
What do you think the receivers are saying? Man, he don't think we're good enough. He don't think we're enough to drag across the finish line.
Well, CD just said last week, his rookie year, they had three number ones with him and Amari and Gallup, right? So you look at it as we got three, well, at least two number ones, right?
Gallup ain't no number one.
No, he is not anymore.
He wasn't.
He was pretty good for a while. I think you're underrating how many big catches he made.
Skip, just because you make big catches. Mm-hmm. So the question is, number one, I can put you anywhere and you go thrive. Michael Gallup ain't doing that.
No, he's not that kind of number one. But I do remember on an opening night out here at SoFi, it was the opening game.
He shoved. He pushed off. Skip, you saw it.
He caught a ball that should have tied the game.
What is going on? You know what? There have been a lot of – see, you didn't say anything when Drew Pearson shoved him out on Hail Mary.
I was thinking of that this morning.
Yeah, I know you were. But you didn't have no problem with that. They didn't throw no flag on that.
That became the Hail Mary.
It did.
That was my favorite Cowboy quarterback. Roger Staubach.
He shoved the TB down.
He got away with a little push-off, but so did Jordan on Brian Russell. Right?
So the gods have been punishing you guys ever since.
Huh.
No dad's catch?
Yep, that's true. That is true. But we got that Hail Mary.
That was going to start to rain.
Maybe we'll have a Hail Dak this week.
No.
We will keep tabs on it here on Undisputed, that's for sure. I got to jump in and interrupt, guys, because we've got a new report coming out of Brooklyn this morning. The Nets' growing frustration with Ben Simmons. We're going to give you the very latest. You don't want to miss this. That's up next. Back to the hardwood. According to The Athletic, frustration is building and has been in recent weeks surrounding Ben Simmons. Nets coaches and teammates are, quote, concerned about his availability and level of play, with some questioning his passion for the game. Shannon, is Ben Simmons a lost cause now?
Skip, I believe two things are at play here. I believe Ben Simmons probably, because he went into great detail talking to Shams. I mean, he was basically spilling his soul to Shams.
Yep.
The question is he hurt now or was he hurt then? Because he mentioned about his back and that he had dead foot and he couldn't walk, he couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And obviously he's having career lows across the board, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He's coming off the bench now. He's playing less than 27 minutes of ball game. But I still do not believe Ben Simmons has not come out of that mental fog that was happened to him in Philly. And sometimes that feels like an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, Skip, we can create our own demons, and sometimes we have to chase those things away. We must chase those things away. Ben is not the same, Skip. I mean, it's hard, Skip, for me to just look at it like, because some people wear their passion. Of Michael Irvin, you can tell he loved the game. Come back, he was fire and brimstone.
Yep.
It was everything. And some guys don't have that level of burning fire, but they still love the game. So I don't want to sit here and say, well, he don't love the game. But he does not even look, he doesn't even resemble.
No.
It's not even close. Other than he looks like Ben Simmons, nothing else about his game says Ben Simmons. Skip, I ain't expecting the man to ever shoot 40% from the three. I ain't expecting him to shoot 70% from the free throw line. But man, he just seems like a lost cause. It just seems like it's one thing after another. They had a players only meeting. It says that he was very receptive because Marcus Morris.
Markeith
spoke, and it said Ben seemed really receptive. And then he turns around and missed like 3-4 of the next games. He says it's his knee. He's getting PRP treatments.
Yep.
I thought that the Brooklyn Nets got a good deal. They had a guy in James Harden that no longer wanted to be there. And it seems like the only team that was willing to trade with them were the Sixers. And it seems like, well, Skip, we're exchanging problems. We got a guy that don't want to be here either.
Yep.
You got a guy that don't want to be there. So how about we just swap? Mm. James Harden is hurt now. I'm not so sure he's lived up to the expectations that Philly had for him. But Ben Simmons hadn't even come close, Skip. Because remember, he missed all of last year.
Yep.
He was supposed to come back during the playoffs. He was even practicing, and then come time to play the game, he's like, nah, bro, I ain't going to be able to make it happen. Mm. Skip, I've never seen anything like this. You gave the stats about the All-Star games, the All-NBA defensive team selections, the Rookie of the Year. Skip, he's a guy. He's less than a guy now.
I don't know if he's a guy.
Yeah, he's less than a guy now. Skip,
Royce O'Neal is a guy to me,
yeah.
but he plays hard, man.
Yeah, Skip, I'm not saying that Ben Simmons, it's hard. Because, Skip, I can't tell a guy if a guy's hurt. He knows his body.
Yeah.
But I still believe Ben is dealing with this thing mentally.
Likewise, unfortunately. Again, to your point, Rookie of the Year, 3 straight All-Star teams, 2 straight first-team All-Defenses. Last game we saw in Philly, even though it was a debacle of a disaster at the end of the game, because he ran from the late-game free-throw line, he guarded Trae Young most of the game and held him to 5 of 23 because he can do that at 6'10 and long and agile.
Right.
And when he used to have the basketball in his hands running up the floor, there weren't many faster than him with the basketball. He's like Lonzo. He can lope down the court with those long strides. So he has to live up on the defensive end. He's got to give you first-team all-defense or he's useless.
Yeah.
Okay. That guy who made those all-star teams, he is gone, and I'm afraid he's gone for good because I can't recognize an inch or ounce of him. To your point, I don't even know who this is anymore.
But can he be serviceable? If you don't believe he can ever be an all-star again or an all-NBA defensive player, is he serviceable?
No. This young man, still very young, 26.
Yes.
He appears to have lost his desire to play basketball at the highest level. Maybe he wants to go play in the park somewhere, but again, he's not having fun playing basketball with the spotlight on him. What you got?
Well, Skip, if he's lost his desire to play and they're paying you $30 million, he's damn sure ain't playing in the park. Michael Jordan had a desire to play so much so he had a clause in his contract for the love of the game that I could play basketball anywhere, anytime.
That is correct.
That's love of the game.
Okay, so again, is it at the back? Is it the knee? I have no idea. But the reason they're having team meetings is because they wanted to see the tenacity on the defensive end, and you can't see it.
Right.
He's not even a guy on defense. He just sort of drifts on defense.
He's a turnstile now.
No, he's a turnstile. It's hard to watch.
It is.
And yet the irony of this report from Shams is that last night, this is sad but true, Ben actually had his best offensive game of the year because he actually made 5 of 7 shots. I was actually watching much of this game, but he did make a 6-foot pull-up, quasi little jump shot on a fast break, and he had 2 floaters that he made from about 4 feet.
Right.
So I give him that, but you read those numbers. We got to do something to change these numbers because 666 is not a good number to have for your – I think that kind of says it all. Ben, you got to do something to knock one of those numbers up or down because you don't want to stick on 666.
Right.
But the point is that's all he's averaging for the year. And from the free throw line so far this year, he's 8 of 17. Well –
47%.
Yeah, it's just not good enough because now you're clearly unplayable down the stretch of games.
Once again, he's only shooting 48% from the floor. No. So it's not like he's a and a guy that size, he should be mid-50s, maybe even 60%, because he ain't shooting anything but layups and dunks.
No. Man, he just looks lost to me, which makes him lost cause to me.
Yeah, he looks like a defeated man.
Which makes the Nets, who have even bigger issues revolving around Kyrie. Obviously, he'll be back pretty soon, I hope, for their sake. But again,
I don't know, Skip. It don't seem like
okay. Well, we'll see about that. But the point is, this team looked lost last night because they're at Sacramento and they give up 153.
In a regulation game. This is not overtime or double overtime.
153, they gave up 80 in the second half. They lost the second half 80-65.
Skip, they let the team shoot 60% from the floor and 49% from the three. Now, Sacramento is better than...
No, they got talent.
Skip, they can score the basketball.
Yep.
They can score it. They can shoot the three. They Sabonis is unbelievable. I mean, not to switch, but just to a little bit. Skip, they're going to have to move Kevin Durant. Mm. Ain't moving by the trade deadline, or you're definitely moving him this offseason. This thing is going to look totally different next year. Skip, what are you keeping him for?
As a marquee drawing card,
You don't sell our home game anyway. Excuse me. You might as well go ahead and get some compensation. Skip, this thing with Ben Simmons, and I don't know, and we talked about it, and how Vegas had them, like, content. Skip, they don't play any defense. Mm. If your defense is your offense, because what's going to happen, at some nights, you're not going to have it offensively. Well, if you don't play no defense, this is what happens. They're going to get 153 on you. That's what happens. I mean, Skip, look at those plus minuses up there. Did you look at those plus minuses? A minus 40. Every starter, Edmund Sumner, had the lowest plus minus, and he was minus 20. Somebody had Joe Harris was 30, minus 37. Mm. Nick Claxton, minus 30. Russell Neal was minus 40. KD was minus 31. Mm. And KD played the most. He played 31 minutes. How the hell did you get that kind of plus minus with 30 minutes?
Mm. Guess what he did for the free throw line? Oh, he made all 11.
Right, 11.
He's trying to keep up with Luka, right?
No, what he tried to do, he needed 46 points to get to 27,000 points.
Think he's stat padding?
But you know who got the record right now, right? You know what it is. You looked up through the top of your eye. You know who got it. Mm.
Kevin Durant played 0 minutes in the fourth quarter last night, so he wasn't stat back.
Hold on. I'm looking at these numbers. Did he play at all? How you have somebody get 153? 153, Skip?
Yet this is the same team that just last Saturday beat the Clippers in L.A. So I don't know what switch got flipped, because then against A.D., they just gave up. They just let him parade to the basket, and he got 37 and 18. And then they go up to Sacramento and get blown off the floor after they got it to 40 all early.
And some dude met to Skip.
Yep.
Terrence Davis played 26 minutes, mm-hmm. and had 31, 12 of 16, 7 of 10 from the three. Skip, it's over. Skip, it's over.
This is a troubled, troubled basketball
team. Skip, it's over. Josiah, do the right thing. Just go ahead. Hey, OKC, if KD, are you willing to go to OKC? Go get Gilgeous Alexander. Get some of those draft picks, Skip.
Mm. Good.
Skip, it's over in Brooklyn. This was not successful.
Okay, I will give you that, but you got to give me it's also over in Los Angeles.
And it over GOAT.
No?
Oh, GOAT.
Well, wait a second. The Nets are 6-9. GOAT is 3-10. 3-10?
I think he might be back tomorrow. Though.
Okay.
Well, he might be back tomorrow. Oh, really? Make a run this
They're going to make a run from 3-10? To what?
100 miles and running.
To barely miss the play-in?
Hey, you look up, we might be 10-10.
Really?
Then what you going to say?
I'm going to say right now, I'll bet you five cases they don't get to 10-10. Want to bet five?
No, nah, we're going to get
five. Once, we're going, twice, three times.
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get to 5-10.
Mm.
5-10. We're going to win the next two.
Okay, well, you should win your next two. What? You got LeBron bleeping James and Anthony Davis.
Coming off the lieutenant of the groin area.
Oh, okay. That's what he says.
Yeah. But don't do that, Skip. Don't see that. You go. You know the man.
That's what he says. I think you need a little
Brooklyn
rest.
Brooklyn Nets to unpack, guys. We'll have to see.
Damn,
the fallout from this article is concerning, Ben. And then the Kyrie situation, the NBAPL may file a grievance in the next few days. And then the team as a whole faces the Portland Trailblazers tomorrow.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.